Let's welcome our brothers and sisters of the mission team. Thank you for joining us. You may be seated. They were part of the mentor crew team that performed here in Adelaide. They brought us blessings from heaven. Amen? Let's give them a hand once again. They're on the way to, they have come from Sydney. They're on the way to Port Augusta for the National Aboriginal Conference. And from there, they're going south to Warrnambool and then back to Melbourne. So we praise the Lord. We have brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus and are willing to go many, many miles to serve the Lord Jesus. But today, as we begin the new year, let us turn to the Word of God. Please turn with me to Psalm 93. I'll read to you the whole psalm. Don't be afraid, it's only five verses. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Your throne was established long ago, Lord. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters. Mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord is on high in majesty. The Lord on high is majesty, I should say. Verse 5, your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. And as I've shared with the church on New Year's Eve, I believe that the theme and the vision for God's people this year is holiness. Here it says, holiness adorns his house. How many of you belong to the Lord Jesus? Hallelujah. Give yourselves a hand. You shall be adorned with the holiness of the Lord. Now, to me, holiness speaks of the purity of God. Holiness speaks of the majesty of God. Holiness speaks of the beauty of God. And above all, holiness speaks of the sovereignty of God. And when He is over us, His holiness comes over us and rules over us. And as we begin the new year, we who are in Christ, we are blessed. Amen? Say amen. Amen. You're not very excited about being blessed, you know. To be blessed is to enjoy and have the supernatural power of God working for us. That's what being blessed means. You don't have to work too hard. You say, Lord, I'm blessed. And the power of God works for you and through you. This is what it means to be blessed. So when we say, I bless you, speak it seriously. Have God on your mind and you release the power of God into the person next to you. So why don't you turn to the person to your left or to your right and or to the person behind you and say, in Jesus' name, I bless you. Hallelujah. What is blessing? The supernatural power of God working for you. And so here we are reminded in verse 1, the Lord reigns. Our God is the boss of all the bosses. Our Lord, He reigns. No matter what circumstances you're facing or you have been facing and you think the enemy has won the victory over you, today I've got good news for you. Our Lord reigns. He has the first word. He has the last say. And here it says, He reigns and He is robed in majesty. He is the Lord. He is the King. His word is the ultimate word. He has the final say in everything. Even though we are down and out and almost gone, if the Lord says, you will come good, what happens? You will come good. Here in English, it is called Lord. But in the original Hebrew, it is YHWH, Yahweh, the covenant name of God. Now, God is a God who keeps His promises. He is the covenant-keeping God. Whenever you are struggling, as you go into the year, and as you face the world, our Lord Jesus said, in this world, there'll be no troubles? No. He said, in this world, you will find trouble. But the good news is, no matter what trouble you face, you have Him with you. He's the Lord, our helper. He will never leave us nor forsake us, because He is the covenant-keeping God. It is about Him being true to His word. So whenever we hold on to the promises of God, we are holding on to the God who keeps His promises. Amen? And the Bible says that God is not man that He should lie, or the son of man that He should change His mind. If God says, I love you, His love for us remains. It doesn't change. It is established. And so, verse 1 reminds us that God is the sovereign. He is king. He is robed in majesty. He is the majesty Himself. And He is armed with strength. It's not that God is helpless and unable to help us. Sometimes when it is seemingly, when it seems to us that God doesn't seem to answer our prayers, doesn't seem to hear us, and we seem to be helpless and without hope, remember, our God is not helpless. Our God is not without power. He is armed with strength. Sometimes He allows us to go through a season of testing. Sometimes He allows us to go through a season of trial. Why? So that our character may be molded and shaped to be like Him. To have the strength of God. Amen? How many of you want the strength of God? Then be like the Apostle James. He says, when trials and testing comes, see it as simply a test from God. And God, I shall be faithful, you can confidently say. Because He is a covenant-keeping God. He will keep His promises. This is our God, our awesome God we just sang. Is your God awesome? Yes. Hallelujah. And we are reminded, this God who is King, His world, the world that He established, is firm and it cannot be moved. In other words, whatever God has planned, whatever God has purposed, no devil can spoil it, wreck it, destroy it, or change it. The plans that God has for us will come to pass if we hold on to Him by faith. Everything is about faith. Amen? That is why the righteous shall live by faith. Now, do you know why I asked us to all shout a shout of victory at the beginning? Because the Word of God says, when we lift up our voices and shout, we defeat the enemy. Psalm 8 verse 2. We shut down the enemy and he can't even say a single thing. And here we are reminded. The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. He's armed with strength. His world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. The plans and purposes of God will come to pass. It's a matter of us putting ourselves in line with God. Not asking God to come in line with us. We don't know what line to go to, do we? Right? But if we line up with God, God's line is firm. God's line is established. God will lead us into eternal glory. So where do you want to be? Lined up with God. And remind ourselves in verse 2 that God's throne was established long ago and He is from all eternity. Sometimes when we go through life, as we go through 2020, when we go through the ups and downs of life, sometimes it is beautiful, lush, green valley, but other times it might be stony desert. No matter what we go through, where we go through, when we go through, remember this one thing. God is about being eternal. And so our life with God shall be eternal. We are talking about a destiny in eternity. Not about having a happy life on earth or a successful life on earth. You are all TPs. You know what TP is? Temporary resident. All right? You are not permanent residents of earth, because the earth shall burn. And the fires we see is just a warning of what it is like. Because 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, in the last days, the entire earth will burn. And you know something? The scientists have discovered that what the Bible predicts is going to happen. And so, as we go through 2020, as we go from January to March to July, and as we serve the Lord and we begin to feel tired, as we begin to feel weary, Lord, why do I go so many miles? The Lord says, no matter how many miles you go through, no matter how many struggles and problems and battles you have to fight on the face of this earth, it is but temporary. So what shall the righteous do? The righteous shall live by faith. That's why the Bible says we've got to fight the good fight of faith. On this earth, we are engaged in spiritual battle. Hello? We are blessed because we shall win. Amen? We have a God who is eternal. And when we talk about eternal life, we are talking about life in God. And because God is eternal, so our life shall be eternal. That's what it means. And the psalmist then goes on to say, the seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have filled their voice. And the seas pound at us. They lifted up their pounding waves. So speaks about troubles and problems. But then, even when we look at the troubles and the problems, when we look at difficult circumstances around us, when we enter into the year, and instead of seeing a plain, we see a mountain in front of us, what shall we do? Let us be reminded that mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, is our Lord on high. Hallelujah. Our God shall overcome. And in Him we shall be overcomers. Amen? We shall be overcomers because we are in Christ and Christ has overcome. And you know, how then can we be with God on God's side? Hello? You've got to be on God's side to enjoy God's victory. Does that make sense? Then do what the Lord, do what the scripture tells us to do. God to the people of Israel was the Holy One of Israel. One of a kind. There's no other God like our God. All others are not gods. They might call themselves gods, but they are not gods, right? Others may call themselves Christians, but they are not Christians unless they have the Spirit of Christ in them. Agree? In the same way, we shall be on God's side when we are lined up with God. Remember I said? Not God lining up with us, but we lining up with God. This is the line that goes to heaven. That's the line that goes elsewhere. Up to you to choose which line. And so it says, to line up with God, to enjoy God's victory, the Bible says, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the New Testament. Let me give you an example. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We are here for you. 15 and 16. Here the Apostle Peter says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. It is written refers to Leviticus chapter 11. And here we are called, let's dare to be bold. Let's dare to confess Christ. All who are in Christ, please lift up your hands. Let's say, Lord Jesus, I shall be holy as you are holy. Amen. Hallelujah. Here is a call to all of us that just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. And now if God calls us to do it, that means he'll give us the grace to fulfill it. So don't say you can't. Say I can. In all I do, I can choose to be different. Not that we are different from one another, but we are different from the ways of the world. On Sunday, they're all going to watch footy, or today's a cricket, but we will go to church and celebrate Christ instead. We are different from the world. And the psalmist then goes on to say, let's go back to Psalm 93. He says, the seas may lift up their voices, the sea may pound us with their waves, they might sound mightier than thunder, but our God is the awesome God. He will help us to overcome. And because we are lined up with God, we are lined up with the victory of Christ. We are different, we are separate, we are separated by God for God. Amen? We are set apart so that we may serve the living God. We are not set apart to be put on the shelf and gather dust. All right? Those who love God will serve the Lord. There are those who serve God but do not love him. But all of us who love him, we will serve him. And the good news is, no matter what troubles pound at our doors, we have a God who is with us, a God who is for us, and a God who will overcome on our behalf. So maybe 2019 had been a hard year. Maybe 2019 had been the most challenging and difficult year. Maybe 2019 was a year marked by pain and tears and hurts. But the good news is that you've reached 2020, hallelujah. You've survived the year. And what is more, we shall fight the good fight of faith. And, you know, when the psalmist talks about the seas have lifted up, the seas were roaring against them, pounding against them, it was only by looking at the waters. Because there were the people of Israel. In front of them, the Red Sea. Behind them, the roar of the chariots of Pharaoh. And they thought they've had it. And just when all seemed impossible, God told his servant, raise up your stick. Don't go on your knees. I've given you the power. Just stand up and speak to the waters. And as Moses lifted up his rod and spoke to the waters, a way was opened for them where there was no way. No matter what the situation comes your way, when you lift up your authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's your authority? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you know that you have the Christ in you, you have the anointed one in you, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. You have the anointing that will release the power of God that was opened a way where once there was no way. So here was a psalmist reminding the people of Israel about what happened when the waves threatened, when the waves roared, when the waves thundered, when the waves pounded at the shores, and there it seemed as though they will surely die. Even when death seems just but minutes away. Yet, all God needs to do is to release one word.
is the power of God's word.
Amen. We don't need to see a big hand coming down. Just releasing one word. God told Moses, get off your knees. Just lift, stand up and speak. That's all he did. Moses just spoke. Moses didn't get an army of soldiers and engineers to build a bridge across the sea. He just spoke God's word. Brothers and sisters, as we enter into 2020, let us be reminded once again of the treasure that we have. The word of God. There is power in the word of God. And so, if we know who Christ is, if we know what he has done for us, then we will value his worth, treasure his worth, keep it in our hearts and guard it. Because out of it flows the issues of life. Proverbs 4:20-22. And so, no matter what kind of waves pound, no matter what kind of fires come our way, no matter what kind of troubles threaten us, intimidate us, and seek to overcome us, let us be reminded of what the scripture says. The psalmist says in Psalm 34, verse 19, we are the righteous ones, amen? We are the righteous ones in Christ. He says, the righteous one may have many troubles. Hello? Whoop. But the Lord delivers him from them all. Hallelujah. And the prophet Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the waters of affliction, when you pass through the waters of trouble, when you pass through the waters of difficult circumstances, the Lord says, I will be with you. The waters will not sweep over you. You will not be overwhelmed by whatever you confront with. Amen? You will rise up above the waters. Yes, the waters may come to you, but unless it goes over your nose, you are okay. Is that right? When you pass through the waters, the Lord promises, I will be with you. Say amen to that. The waters may pass over rivers, but they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. The Lord is our helper. The Lord is our Savior. The Lord is our deliverer. The Lord is our healer. The Lord is our provider. Shall we be afraid? No. Shall we be overwhelmed? No. Shall we give in? No. We shall fight the good fight of faith. Right? Sometimes the threat may not be against us directly, but against our loved ones. Nevertheless, we who have faith, we can uphold them through the faith that we have in our God. And then let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, this is the verse that I got. I think I told the congregation on New Year's Eve. This is the verse I believe that the Lord is saying to us that we should seek to live up to and to rise up to for this year. The word says, your statutes stand firm, O Lord. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord. Not just for today, not just tomorrow, not just when we're feeling good and pious, but for endless days. Amen. We can be holy. Positionally in Christ, we are holy. Is that right? Because Ephesians 4 verse 24 tells us, we are made to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we put on Christ. We are to put on Christ because in Christ we are made to be like God. We can be godly. Because we are made to be like God. So when you're tempted to sin, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, you read the Bible says this, the Bible says, oh, yeah, that's for those guys, for my life group leaders, for the pastors, for so-and-so, but not for me. That's the natural tendency that will happen to us. Why? Because the devil does not like you to obey the word of God. Every time you obey the word of God, you give delight to the Father. Every time you disobey the word of God, you delight the devil. Whom would you like to delight? Your Father, right? Not the devil. So when we give glory to God, is when we obey the word of God. Love one another. Forgive one another. Be at peace with one another. Encourage one another. Serve one another. Every time we do this, we bring delight to our Father. Father says, oh, my children, they're so good. They're so happy. The statutes of God stand firm. And if we stand upon the word of God, we shall stand firm. And it says, holiness adorns your house. To the psalmist, that house mentioned in 95 was the temple, where there was only one place. Everybody, whether you're living up north in Galilee or down south in Judah, you have to go to that one place. Today, the house of the Lord is at two levels. Individually, you and I, wherever we are, we go, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But also collectively, when we come together, 1 Peter says, we are the living stones. Amen? Are you alive? Yes. We are the living stones built upon our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone. And together, we are that house of God, placed together by God. For what purpose? To bring a sacrifice of praise acceptable to God. Sometimes we go to church and we give God whatever we think is good. I will do it this way, I will do it that way, never mind what the other guys do, and we think it's okay. Is that okay? No. God seeks after worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. In truth means according to the word of God. Not your way, not my way, but God's way. Oftentimes we go to church and we just offer to God whatever we think it is good. God says, whatever you think is good, you might think is good, but to me it stinks. It smells more like filthy rags. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says. 1 John chapter 1. Sorry, 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2, verse 4. As you come to Him, Christ, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The key word is sacrifices that are acceptable to God, not simply convenient for us. Hello? Not simply convenient for us. So often we think, oh, whatever is convenient, whatever is for my comfort. That kind of worship might be worship in anybody's eyes, but not before the eyes of the Holy God. Before the Holy God, a sacrifice that is pleasing and acceptable to Him is a sacrifice that comes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit, and is in spirit and in truth. So how can we line up with God to be God's holy people when we obey the word of God? Last night you all sang the song. How did you do this? This way? Where's Pastor Ace? This way, and then this way, and then clap, 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 right? All right. We are singing Romans 16:19. Is that right? What does it say? It's about obedience. Obedience brings the blessings of God. Obedience brings the favor of God. Because in obedience, we lined up our lives with the supply of God. And so, how do we line up with God? Be holy as the Father in heaven is holy. And as we stand upon the Word of God, as we stand upon the firm foundation of the Word of God, our confession of faith is seen in the way we live. Amen? Our confession is seen in the way we live. If we confess Christ, but we do not live Christ, we are only simply a people that starts with H. Hypocrites. And as we lined up with the Word of God, desiring to please God, we find ourselves standing in the holiness of God. And therefore, the holiness of God adorns us. It's our decoration. It's our advertisement. And when we say we shine the light of God, it is because the holiness of God is our adornment. Now, to give you an understanding or an idea of what an adornment is, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. I'll read to you from verse 10. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. May you say amen. You know, every time we serve God, then we say, oh yeah, this is messy, that's ugly, this is a bit boring, nobody else seems to be doing it, why am I doing it? What do you say to yourself? I delight in the Lord. I delight in serving God. Pastor Catherine and I, every morning when we pray that all our people who serve in church will delight in the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord shall be our strength. And so here it says in verse 10, I delight just a little bit. No, I delight greatly in the Lord. Hey! Amen. Let us be a people who delight greatly in the Lord. And then it says, my soul rejoices in my God. Why? Because he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. In other words, we are clothed in the splendor of God himself with the garments of salvation, with a robe of righteousness. And then it goes on to say, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest. Now the priest is crowned, you know, with that turban and then the gold crown. And as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So may our delight in God be so great as someone on their most important and special day on earth apart from God, the man becoming a king and the woman becoming a queen for the day, getting married, the bride and bridegroom, as they adorn themselves. So we are adorned. We are adorned with the beauty of God. We are adorned with the purity of God. We are adorned with the glory of God. I think that's something good, isn't it? So may we set our hearts right now. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you. I want to delight in you every day. And I want to delight in you greatly every day. I want to line up with my God. I shall be holy as my Father in heaven is holy. Amen. Amen. And as we, as a church collectively, put ourselves in Christ, let ourselves be covered in the righteousness and holiness of Christ, then whoever comes, because of the communal level of faith that we have, no matter who comes, all of us will see God moving in this place. Amen? Because the Bible says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So with holiness all around, what will happen? They will see the Lord. They may not see His hand. They may not see His face. But they will see the evidence of God at work in our midst. Hallelujah. There will be signs like miracles, healings, favors. All the goodness and grace of God will be running over us, chasing after us. Hey, what was that name of the song? Your goodness chases after me. Where's Daryl? We're going to sing a song afterwards, okay? You know, sometimes when we mention the word holiness, sometimes when we mention the word holiness, what's your first reaction? Oh, come on, Pastor. How can it be possible? Not me. Is that right? Sometimes. I say sometimes. Not maybe not you guys. You guys, you know the Lord. You know, sometimes when I read holiness, to be holy like the Father in heaven is holy, I was thinking, yeah, sometimes, but how can it be possible all the time? We sort of shrink back. I don't know about you, but my natural reaction is to shrink back. Wow, how can we have holiness adorn my life all the time? See, holiness is a word that makes us feel uneasy. When we think of His holiness, we think of the Pope. Now when you think of holiness, you think of yourself. I am in Christ, and Christ is holy. Amen? So don't shrink back. Seems to be just a lofty idea. Seems to be not a part of us. Seems to be threatening and alien. Oh my goodness, I'm holy. What? Does it mean that I have to give up this and have to give up that? Is that the first thing you think of? Do I have to surrender everything? And the answer is, yes, you've got to surrender every sinful thing. Because you cannot come to God with your sin. Because in Christ, your sins should be washed away. Those who don't say, oh, I was born this way. Oh, it's my nature. You know me. Well, I've been like this all this time. The good news today, as in first Sunday of 2020, we all can be changed. Amen? It's a new year. It's a new start. All of us, we can be changed. And when we come together, encourage one another, and when we walk on the highway of holiness, we shall rejoice and delight greatly in the Lord. How many of you know that all who belong to God are walking on the highway of holiness? Yes? It's mentioned in Isaiah chapter 35. We are on the highway of holiness, and we are singing. So these guys are singing all the way to Port Augusta. Yeah! It's a new year, it's a new start, you know. And although the word holiness, when we first hear it, may have threatening overtones to our ego and to our pride, it is actually good news for all of us. And because in holiness, in Christ, the door to the treasures of God is open to us. Do you know that? And we get to enjoy all of the greatest of goods. God's infinite love. God's awesome power. And God's wonderful presence. To be separated from worldly attachments is to come to experience in a greater way the presence of God, the company of God, the reassuring knowledge that no matter what we go through, the invisible hand of God is around us, over us, under us. His everlasting arms are lifting us up. Be lifted up, brothers and sisters. And in this year, in this new year, this is a Rhema word of God for us, that all of us can set our hearts on one thing: to be holy as our Father in heaven is holy. And whenever you feel challenged, just see yourself. I'm in Christ. He's the Holy One. And I shall be in a holy child in front of the Father. And as we live this way, others will see a purity. Others will see a beauty. Others will see a glory of God that sets you out to be different. And may be such that by the way we live, others, when they meet with us, will say, I want to have what those guys have. Amen? You know, talking about possible or not possible, about things coming alive, I shared on the New Year's Eve about God giving us this word as a theme. And I believe that God has confirmed it with a sign. And for those of you, I won't go into details because I've said it before on New Year's Eve. The sign was that a palm tree that was in a pot that had been dead for weeks, when we rebuked death and spoke life into that plant came back to life. And it's outside there for you to see. So if you want to know more details about it, ask some of those guys who came on New Year's Eve. But let's move on. You know, holiness can be an adornment over us that truly sets out those who are servants of God. Some of you may have heard of the guy called Smith Wigglesworth. Yeah? And one time he came to Australia and he was the one who prophesied that revival will come to Australia. Smith Wigglesworth, he came from very, very humble origins. Very humble beginnings. But he became great because he put his life, he lined up his life with the awesome God. And you know, when he set his heart on serving God, and when he recognized that he wanted, even though he had some success, he recognized that without the fullness of God in his life, without the Holy Spirit empowering his life, something was missing. So he made sure that he entirely surrendered his life to God's word and therefore received the full gospel in his life. And when he lined up his life with God, he began to see God moving in his life like he never saw before. He saw dead men come to life. He saw blind men see, deaf men hear, lame men walk. And there was one guy who went to a shoe shop and with a stump in the leg. And when, because he had gone there, having been prayed for by Smith Wigglesworth, and he went to the shoe shop, the guy asked him, what size? I don't know what size. Because he had a stump in his leg and not a leg. He went there, shoe shop, and he just believed that when the guy brought the shoe for the right foot, I mean the living foot, and he put the foot into the other shoe, that shoe was filled with a new leg. So a new foot formed into that leg. Such is the awesome power of God that we can see when we lined up with God. Now, Smith Wigglesworth was so dedicated to obeying the word of God. He was so lined up with the word of God. Such was the holiness of God in him that when he entered a railway carriage, a cabin, he walked into a train and people who are not godly was feel very uncomfortable because he carries with him the presence of God. And these guys will move to another part of the train. Such is the possibility of a holiness adorning our lives when we surrender our lives to God and set our heart on lining up with God and the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are that wonderful free gift that we celebrate at Christmas. You are that bundle of abundant grace, full of truth, full of the glory of God. Lord Jesus, once again, We ask that you come into our lives. You increase and we decrease. You fill us and everything that is of the world, leave us. May your holiness adorn our lives each and every day in this year and until we see you face to face. This we ask and we pray.